Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Can't believe it's the last show of 2018. And in 3 days, 72 hours, give or take, it's 2019. Amazing. Quite the year this was, don't you agree? So this is our annual tradition, this show, our New Year's show, where we're going to kind of recap your erstwhile reporters, your erstwhile hosts, prognostications for last year. The year gone by, 2018, you know, the New Year's past, and we're going to make prognostications for the New Year's coming up, 2019. And this morning I have a few little quick news items I'm going to go over with you, because it like ties right in to number one, my self-report card, if you will, on how I did on last year's forecasts, and the forecast for this upcoming year. Not only that, they'll probably make your hair curl and your eyes cross. Number one, Judicial Watch. I've talked about them before. They are phenomenal. They are into everything. They are probably the biggest onion peelers of corruption in the United States. Their target is government, and it really doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, whatever, their target is the truth for America. They are terrific. And by the way, you should support them. I believe that under politics or one of the categories, you'll see an article by Judicial Watch, and you'll see a place that you can send them some money. They operate totally on donations, and they have been instrumental in bringing us, that's you, me, and the rest of America, truth that the Congress can't get at, that the DOJ doesn't want to release, that the State Department's been hiding, that the FBI pretends they lose, you name it. In the last 2 weeks, Judicial Watch has uncovered that the FISA courts, remember there were four FISA warrants signed by all sorts of nefarious characters, from Comey to Rosenstein, to, you know, the darling that was running the Department of Justice before, unfortunately, Sessions got appointed. Not one of those FISA applications, all of which were fraudulent, because they relied on the Trump dossier, which was fraudulent and contrary to federal law, was unverified and was not communicated within the pleading, within the application for the FISA warrant that had been compiled strictly by a foreign agent from Russian nationals paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Not one FISA court in those four applications held a hearing. That's unbelievable. The second thing that they have uncovered here just in the last few weeks, our buddy Peter Strzok, probably the most corrupt, treasonous FBI agent ever, which is, that's quite some testimony given the fact that he has McCabe and Comey and Orr and a whole bunch of other folks in the Department of Justice, Eric Holder. This guy is the worst, the worst. Peter Strzok is the one, he drafted the Comey letter about the Clinton emails that were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Remember, Anthony Weiner is the pervert congressman in New York, Democrat, of course, who was sent away to jail for doing perp deals with underage gals over his Twitter or whatever. He was married to Uma Abedin, who was the right-hand lady forever for Hillary Clinton. Put aside the fact that Uma Abedin has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, and I've done shows on this, and her mother runs a Sharia magazine and all sorts of stuff. I mean, just, you can't make, it's just unbelievable. It appears that of the, stay with me here, of the 600,000 emails on Uba Abedin's husband's computer that came from Hillary Clinton's server. Peter Strzok said there was nothing to see here after seeing only a random sampling of about 3,600 of those emails. Judicial Watch got a hold of those emails, or most of them, the ones that had been deleted, bleach-bitted, you name it, illegally by Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin, and Cheryl Mills, Hillary Clinton's chief of staff. And just in the sampling that Judicial Watch did, they found 18 classified emails, which, of course, means a series of felonies for Wiener, a series of felonies for Uma Abedin. Uma Abedin, it means that Uma Abedin lied to Congress and to the FBI. Remember what happened to poor General Flynn. And it means that Hillary Clinton lied to Congress and to the FBI. I mean, truly amazing. Truly amazing. Then they discovered, you'll love this. Oh, yeah. You know. Comey closed the investigation. He made the willing decision to close the investigation of Hillary, despite the fact that he knew the FBI had not reviewed all the materials on Uma Abedin's hubby's, the pervert, Wiener's laptop. He made that decision. But, you know, he was working out of his thing. Yeah, 3,077 of the 694,000 emails found on the Wiener laptop, that's all that was reviewed directly by Mr. Strzok before writing the letter to Comey, and Comey jumping the gun and saying, okay, we reopened the investigation, but now we're going to close the investigation because there's nothing to see here, and there was no classified document. Wrong. Wrong. I mean, just unbelievable, really. And then they also found out, now listen, I've been reporting to you for years about voter fraud. And I told you that there were millions of illegal votes cast in 2016. Millions. I have brought up to you many instances of voter fraud and felonious and treasonous electioneering by Democratic operatives. I showed you over the last 4 or 5 weeks how literally the Democrats have stolen 26, at least, 26 House seats. How they almost stole the Florida governorship and almost stole a Florida Senate seat with clearly criminal activities by their operatives on the ground. For instance, the gal running the Broward County Election Commission. I mean, you know, please. In its final months, Judicial Watch has just found out the Obama administration doled out $29 million of our money, folks, of our money, of United States citizens, legal voters' money, via an outfit called the USCIS. And those were grants, you'll love this, to register new illegal immigrant voters that likely supported Democrats in the upcoming presidential election. The upcoming presidential election, by the way, being Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. We have heard reports over the last 3 weeks, of course, Project Veritas, which is phenomenal. Remember, they did all the videos exposing 4 or 5 Democratic senatorial candidates who, on one hand, were saying one thing publicly, and on the other hand, behind closed doors, not knowing they were being videotaped, said, oh, no, you know, take all the guns. Or, you know, I didn't really mean that, but I have to say that to get elected. Or, you know, it's okay to lie so long as you get the votes. I mean, just unbelievable stuff. And probably played a major role in the defeat of Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, and the Indiana guy who lost, too. So Project Veritas rocks. They're also the group that exposed Planned Parenthood for selling baby parts. Project Veritas has just released a string of videos. We don't have them on our website. You can go to Sean Hannity's website. They are posted there. And they, in a number of interviews with election commission officials, number of Broward County in Florida. But these guys, these ladies, are in Texas, who basically say, not knowing they're being videotaped, oh, yeah, you know, we tell illegal aliens they can vote all the time. I mean, if they have a driver's license, we don't check. If they have any kind of ID, we don't check. We just let them register. If they're registered to vote, we don't check to see if they're United States citizens. They just come in and vote. You wonder why Texas is kind of turning purple from red, folks? Because of illegal, felonious, treasonous voter fraud. You'll see how this ties into my prognostications here. So, and Obama was behind it. Remember, Obama was the guy who, good old Barry, who stood up there in 2016 and 2015 and basically said, you know, go on down and vote. I mean, nobody's going to know. The President of the United States actually said that. This is the guy who took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. All right. Next thing. Next quick little news item. Bob Mueller. Bob Mueller's a dirty cop. I think we all kind of know that by now. I think you can see it by the fact that how he has treated people in his so-called investigation. I think you can see it by the money he has siphoned off for that investigation, all of which are going to the pockets of him and his Democratic cronies who are running the investigation. I've told you about Uranium One, which he's in up to his eyeballs. I have told you that I believe a lot of what's going on in the Democratic camp now is the done under the theme of the best defense is a good offense. These people don't care. I mean, yes, if they can bring Trump down, that's great. If they can tie up Trump's agenda, that's great. But you know what they really care about? Covering their own butts. And the best defense is offense. And that's why Mueller continues to exist, shall we say, his investigation. Well, we've learned something else here in just the last week. And I believe this is posted on the website under treason. Mueller worked with Lois Lerner. Remember that name? Remember the gal who pled the fifth umpty-ump times, who targeted all the conservative groups, the Tea Party groups, the True the Vote groups, and held them up for years in them trying to obtain tax-exempt status? Well, guess who coordinated with her? Robert Mueller, then head of the FBI, and another, like Lerner, Obama appointee. Imagine that. So all this nonsense, and I've said this a million times about, oh, you know, he's a war hero, and he's a Republican, and he was appointed by a Republican president, blah, blah, blah. He's like the gold-plated standard of, you know, the Washington elite. Nonsense. Bob Mueller is a Democrat, just like Comey is a Democrat. They are globalists. They are out to protect their own butts. America be damned. Now, maybe at one time, Robert Mueller was a great war guy and military guy and, you know, more power to him. My hat's off to him. But, you know, like John McCain, he drifted far afield after that. Bob Mueller worked with Lois Lerner to target the Tea Party. Pretty amazing, I do believe. Pretty amazing. And by the way, that was also uncovered by Judicial Watch. Yeah, there was a meeting. Basically, the records reveal that the Obama Department of Justice, you know, Lynch and Holder, the two most corrupt attorney generals in the history of the United States, wanted IRS employees who were going to testify to Congress to turn over documents to the Department of Justice before they gave them to Congress. Illegal. And the Obama IRS, Lerner, his other appointees, etc., gave the DOJ and the FBI, Mueller, 1.25 million pages of confidential IRS returns from 113,000 nonprofit groups as part of this kind of joint conspiratorial delay and prosecute effort that they were working on against conservative groups. Daryl Issa, he was then the House Oversight Chairman, his words to, if you remember, Koskinen, He was the IRS commissioner, also appointed by Obama. This was the IRS commissioner who lost, like, you know, lost all sorts of records and never produced them and destroyed evidence that was under subpoena. I mean, gee, it's kind of the MO of the Democratic Party. You know, like Hillary, like Uma, like Cheryl Mills, you name it. Like Obama himself and his whole cabal. Daryl Issa's words were, quote, this revelation, in other words, they gave confidential tax information of groups and individuals to the IRS did, to the FBI, etc., means that the IRS, including possibly Lois Lerner, violated federal tax law by transmitting this information to the Justice Department. You know, folks, let me connect some dots for you. How do you think Robert Mueller, given this information I just gave you, how do you think Robert Mueller knew about what Paul Manafort was doing in 2006 relative to his tax returns and financial statements and balance sheets and et cetera, et cetera? You think this is all tied in? Yeah, you bet. Next quick news item, Venezuela. I've talked about Venezuela before. You've probably read about some stuff in the news. I mean, this is a socialist experiment gone bad to its umpty-umpt degree. Not that any socialist experiment has ever been good. Poor Venezuela, the poor people of Venezuela. I'm not making these numbers up now. There's a report that just came out. I think it was December 24th, actually. Outlook on the World Economy. This is an international think tank, nonpartisan. I mean, you know, this is just what they do. They're number crunchers. They predict that inflation will reach, hold on to your seat now, 1.4 million percent by December 31st, which is only 400,000% higher than what they estimated inflation in Venezuela would hit when they did their last study in June of 2018. And 100 times faster than the 13,000% inflation that they projected and which was surpassed a month later in January of 2018. I'll quote, believes that consumer prices will increase by 10 million percent over the course of 2019, unquote. Here's some more. Quote, years of misguided policies coupled with a decline in production in the country's vital oil industry to 70-year lows have crashed the economy, unquote. To put this in perspective for you folks, the Venezuela, in the midst of this, this isn't hyperinflation, this is supersonic, hyper, rocket ship-fueled, interplanetary inflation. I gave you some examples in a show, it was 4 or 5 weeks ago. If you type in Venezuela, you can listen to the numbers at that time. I mean, this is like a rocket ship headed downwards month by month. And the poor people there are well, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine living with 10 million percent inflation? I want you to think about that for a moment. That means you would need... what now? If a dollar now buys a loaf of bread, you would need $10 million to buy that same loaf of bread if there was 10 million% inflation. I mean, it's tough to get your brain cells around that. The Venezuelan economy has contracted by 18% in 2018. That's a third year of double-digit decline. It is by far the worst economic and humanitarian crisis in the entire hemisphere. The IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, is predicting another 20% decline in Venezuelan GDP in 2019. If you take all those numbers and put them together, since the year 2015, folks, that's 3 years ago from the time I'm talking to you. The Venezuelan economy has sunk 50%, has sunk to 50% of its former GDP. 50% decline. Think about how we run up and down and everybody screams and yells when the GDP in this country goes up 3% a year or falls 1% a year to 2%. Think about a 50% decline in GDP. Think about what that would mean to you. All right, now, there's other things that are going on with Venezuela. They're trying to get loans from Russia and China, which, of course, is giving those countries a foothold in the Southern Hemisphere and basically blowing the Monroe Doctrine, you know, established by the United States over 100 years ago, out of the water. That's not the point of this show. We'll talk about that another day. Next, quick news item. This is the last one before I get into the how did Reed do on his forecast for last year, and what are his forecasts for this year, which is the main element of this show. So, this is it. This is about immigration. Now, you know, and I'm sure you've heard by now, even though it just happened in the last 48 hours, about this poor kid. I'm going to call him a kid. He was in his 30s. That was killed, a cop. That was killed in a small town in California. A legal immigrant came to this country from Fiji like 15 years ago, put himself through school, commuted 2 hours a day to go to criminal justice school so he could be a cop, took extra English classes so that he could be better understood when talking over the police frequency to dispatchers. And he is a corporal, or he was a corporal, in a small town police force of 12 people. I mean, that was it. 12 people in the police force. This is up in Northern California. He has Christmas with his wife and their five-month-old baby. Takes a picture, which was all over the TV. I'm sure you saw it. Leaves to go on his patrol. And at 1 a.m., the day after Christmas, in other words, hours after leaving his family, he pulls over a pickup truck, no license plates, weaving all over the road, and an illegal alien kills him, shoots him dead. We now found out that this illegal alien had been twice arrested for DUIs previously, was a known member of MS-13, and other violent Mexican gangs, apparently had another bunch of criminal things on his rap sheet, and was wanted for in still other criminal investigations. In other words, this guy had been arrested. He had been deported more than once. He had been arrested after those deportations, after the sanctuary city policy in that area and in California was adopted, had been arrested twice, at least, and was under investigation for still other crimes, was a known gang member, and was still in the country, and ICE had not been informed because of the sanctuary city policies. I've kind of watched this story over the last day or two. It makes my blood boil, particularly within the context of what's going on with the Democrats, the border wall, their complete disregard for the national security of the United States, for the rule of law, and for the safety of you and me and our families. Never mind the economic impact and the wage growth of the people that they call their constituents, like the black community and the Latino community. Never mind the complete disregard for legal immigrants like this poor kid that was killed. This guy was the model. He was the poster boy for legal immigration. This is the kind of immigrant we want. This is the kind of immigration we want. And I've watched several shows on several different channels and listened to these pundits puke their nonsense about this deal and try and cover the tracks of a Democratic Party, which is no longer Democratic, it's the Progressive Party, that is so clearly in the wrong in so many ways on this overall immigration debacle that we have going, on this open, porous border on the southern border, on the drug trade, which, by the way, kills 70,000 Americans a year. Drugs that come in from the southern border, folks, kill 70,000 Americans a year. There was some additional studies, and you'll see where I'm going with this when I get into my forecasts. And by the way, one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning is the fact that I'm going to lay this squarely on the shoulders of Paul Ryan and the rest of the rhinos who have been in the Republican Senate and Republican Congress for the last 2 years. I am really more angry at them than I am at the Democrats. I expect this stuff from the progressives. We know what they want. We know they don't care about America, American security, the Constitution, the rule of law, or you and me. We know that they have figured out it is easier to import a new illegal alien voting base, particularly given the voter fraud that's going on, and to try and legalize or illegally have that base vote more and more and more over the years, to turn red states blue a la Texas, than it is to try and convince you and me of how good their terrible policies are. I mean, that's what's going on here. It might interest you ladies to know, or really any of you listeners to know, that Israel, and I've talked about this before, the wall in Hungary, by the way, has been extremely successful in stopping immigration in Hungary and protecting. Hungary is like the only European country that has been protected from the migrant Muslim hordes that have overrun Europe because it has a border wall, which its prime minister built despite opposition by George Soros. Whole nother story. Listen to my shows on George Soros. You'll learn more. Israel, who had a problem with illegal immigration, and, you know, they have a big problem with terror and all sorts of things. They had 55,000 illegal immigrants. Remember, Israel's only a country of 7 million. That's the same as us having a million or two, relatively speaking. Israel had 55,000 illegal aliens cross various points in the Sinai. They built a wall. The year after the wall was completed, total illegal immigrants crossing through that, I think it's about 400 miles or 300 miles of border, dropped to 20. That's 20 from 55,000. And in the last year, that's last year, it dropped to zero. So we know walls are effective. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she knows walls are effective. Her palatial retreat, you know, the lady who commiserates with the common people, her palatial retreat in trendy and very spendy San Francisco is surrounded by a 10-foot wall. And Barack Obama knows walls work because he just built a 10-foot wall around his multi-million dollar house in Washington, D.C. In fact, there is not a single Democrat, check it out on Google, not a single Democrat, particularly the senators, who lives on a piece of property that has a standalone dwelling or on a piece of property which is a high-end gated community that does not have a wall around their house. But, you know, walls don't work. That's like Al Gore telling us this is 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the sea level is going to rise 10 feet. It's going to flood the entire United States. And he buys a $4 million at that time, now about a $10 million house, which is 4 feet above sea level, right on the coast. Okay, got it. There was a study that was just done on illegal aliens as child rapists. This was done by NCFIRE, North Carolinians for Immigration Reform and Enforcement. The state of North Carolina last year has arrested, actually over the last 10 years, has arrested an average of 18 illegal aliens every month in the year 2018 for the crime of child rape. Let me repeat that. 18 illegal aliens every month in the year 2018 for the crime of child rape in one state. If you want to interpolate, never mind the fact that North Carolina is not one of the larger states, but to be kind, let's say the numbers are exactly the same in North Carolina as it is in New York, a state that's 8 times larger, or California, a state that's 14 times larger. Let's say it's just 18 illegal aliens per month in each state. That means there's 10,800 illegal aliens raping children in the year 2018. And you know, many of those illegal aliens rape more than one child. Because sexual predators are sexual predators. Pedophiles are pedophiles. They don't just stop with one crime. You know, when you think about those 10,800, and boy, I'm being really kind on these numbers, those 10,800 child rapists and child rapes, those 10,800 children that will be affected for their entire lives, when you think about the poor cop the day after Christmas, shot by an illegal alien, deported previously, arrested twice, under investigation, and a known gang member just 2 days ago. When you think about Kate Steinle, beautiful woman, dying in her father's arms on a pier in San Francisco by an illegal alien, who, by the way, was acquitted, by an illegal alien who had been deported 5 times prior and had a criminal record. And when you think about, let me tie this in for you, when you think about these, the two poor Guatemalan kids that have died in the last several weeks after crossing the border, after being marched by their parents, I use that term advisedly, by their parents, 1,000 to 1,500 miles without adequate shelter, clothing, or food or water, despite all the funding by George Soros and the left-wing groups. You know what all those folks have in common? And all the other people, the tens and tens of thousands of people who are rape victims, assault victims, murder victims, the hundreds of thousands of people who are the victims of theft, ID fraud, you name it, at the hands of illegal aliens, non-Americans, alien criminals. You know what they all have in common? They were killed, they were raped, they were hurt, they were stolen from by Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the rest of these so-called Democrats, actually progressives. Just as sure as if those Democrats had pulled the trigger, committed the rape, stolen whatever it was themselves. Because it is their policies, their lack of policies, their unwillingness to get the border under control and to follow the rule of law, their commitment to sanctuary cities, which draw these criminals like magnets, their creation of conditions which draw these migrants, economic migrants, not asylum migrants, from 1,000 miles south to the United States border. It is all those factors which have hurt and killed and raped and stolen from and altered the lives of hundreds of thousands of American citizens and legal immigrants. The Democrats are completely responsible for this. And to sum this up, and they don't care, the mayor, the mayor of Oakland, you remember her? I devoted, unfortunately, a few minutes of a show a year back on her. She released 900 criminal aliens, not released, but she warned 900 criminal aliens of an impending ICE raid that ICE had let her city government, her city police know about in advance, which is standard law enforcement protocol. You know, you don't want cops shooting cops. And she warned these criminal aliens and they fled off into the night. And who knows what murders, rapes, thefts, identity thefts, DUI, you name it. Those 900 people that she forewarned of ICE raids have perpetrated in the last year. And yesterday, Friday, in the midst of this news about this poor legal immigrant kid, young man with a five-month-old baby, gunned down by an illegal alien, harbored in Northern California, that's right, on the outskirts of Oakland, because of her and other Democrat sanctuary policies. Do you know what she said yesterday? She was asked about, what do you think about this poor kid's, this poor cop's shooting? You know, do you regret doing what you did? Do you regret allowing those 900 criminals to evade ICE, to assisting them? You know what she said? I don't have a regret. Not one. None at all. I want you to think about that. If that is not a in-your-face, I don't care about you, because you are Bubba, you are American, I'm never going to reach you, I only care about the folks who are going to vote for me in the future, even if they are breaking our laws, even if they are illegal aliens, then I don't know what is. I actually replayed that five times because I couldn't believe that even she, as smug and as elite and as arrogant and as progressive as she was, could possibly say something like that in the wake of this cop shooting by this scumbag illegal alien who should have never been in the country before, to begin with. The immigration problem, folks, goes back a long, long, long time. And this is all going to tie into my prognostications. From 1910 to 1920, there was a revolution in Mexico. It was violent. It was bloody. A lot of that violence spilled across the border into America, whether it was New Mexico or Texas. And the border states and the residents along the southern border, the American residents, screamed and yelled for federal border protection and federal border walls. Remember, this is 1910 to 1920. This is more than 100 years ago. So the federal government at that time, listen to this, sent troops to the border. And the Texas Rangers were even reactivated to patrol the border. And other states sent enlisted militia groups to help protect Americans in those border states from marauding Mexicans and spillover of Mexican Revolutionary War violence. Those people at that time began to ask for a border wall. And at that time, remember, the patrol was on horseback, right? You didn't have vehicles. The Congress formed the Border Patrol, the precursors to our current enforcement agencies, in 1924. So basically for 100 years, let's call it 94 years, the United States federal government has been trying to deal with a crisis on the southern border. And they haven't gotten it done. It is a pathetic statement on government, don't you think? Now, let's get into our show. If I have time this morning, because we have a lot of forecasts to review to see how your host did for last year, and we have a lot of forecasts to make because there's a whole bunch of stuff coming our way this year. Oh, yes, it's a big old locomotive of lots of stuff, and it's coming for us. If we have time, I'll have a little story for you this morning, too. First of all, let's start with last year's forecast. And some of these will kind of diffuse into forecasts for this year, too. So, I basically said a year ago, and by the way, that show is posted right below this show on the website and the podcast. So you can listen to what I said last year if you want. It's kind of interesting. I was kind of fascinated to listen to my own show. I always am, each one of these New Year's shows. I said if Republicans get stuff done, then, and there were no surprises in the tax deal, which they were like working on at that time, then the House would stay in Republican hands, and the Senate would certainly stay in Republican hands. And if there was a surprise, or if they didn't get stuff done like Obamacare, which they didn't get done, well, partially, or the wall, which they didn't get done, thank you, Paul Ryan, then they would probably lose the House. Well, however you want to look at my prognostication there, number one, there was a surprise in the tax bill. And the surprise in the tax bill was that folks in high state and property tax states were limited from there on in after the passage of the tax bill to writing off $10,000 of their local and state taxes against their federal income taxes. And let me tell you, in high rent districts where you're paying $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year property tax for your house on an acre, and you're paying on top of that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% state income tax, that's a big deduction to lose. A big deduction to lose. And it also doesn't do much for your home's value. Go back to my shows over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Just type in Northeast housing market. Down 41%. 41% in the last 6 months. So all those things conspired, and the Republicans did lose the House, but the Republicans did keep the Senate. I'm going to have to give myself kind of a solid B on that forecast. I kind of threaded the needle. And it's a shame, you know. If Paul Ryan wasn't such a rhino, wasn't such an elitist, wasn't such a globalist, we could have the border done. We'd be going through none of the nonsense we're going on through right now. There was no excuse for a Republican House and a Republican Senate to not get that border wall funded. None. Zero. Nada. I also projected last year that there would be continuing and accelerating talk of impeachment of Trump. Particularly, of course, if the Republicans lost the House. Well, that has happened. I'll give myself an A- on that. I talked about gun control. And by the way, next week's show is going to be on civilizational jihad in the United States. Some scary stuff. I've done shows on it before, but this is updated with new stuff that's just come to light over the last 6 months. And on gun control, I'm going to bring you a raft of new gun laws that you have not heard about from Washington to New Jersey. And they're kind of scary. And we're going to talk about gun laws now pending in the Congress that the Democrats who are, you know, taking over the House here on January 3rd, I believe it is, that they're already drafting. Along with some help from Republican rhinos. I think you'll find it quite interesting. But last year I said there were certain loopholes in gun control laws that would be closed. But that I did not think there would be anything of importance on true, quote-unquote, true gun control. Well, you know, I was right on some of the loopholes getting closed, but I was wrong on other gun control laws not being passed. I'm going to have to give myself a C- on that one, maybe even a D+, because some of the laws that have been passed, the magazine ban in New Jersey, the red flag laws now, I believe, in 14 states where anybody, for any reason, with no basis and no proof, your wife, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your uncle, your neighbor, the guy who doesn't like you at work, anybody can file a complaint with the police anonymously, and they come to your door and take your guns. No due process, and it can take you months and thousands of dollars back in court to try and get them back. They're called red flag laws. 14 states have passed them or put into place policies, executive orders by the governors, over the last year. So I was I misjudged the wave of gun control fervor on the part of Democrats and the assistance they were going to get from Rhino Republicans. And a lot of this is happening under people's radar. Let's go to the next thing. I predicted that we would have an infrastructure bill, at least in draft form, although it probably wouldn't kick into high gear till 2019. I predicted, which, by the way, is exactly how she's coming down, and you'll see that my prognostications are we will have an infrastructure bill, and a big one, like $1 trillion, in 2019. It might be the only major legislation of any bipartisan nature in 2019. I predicted the Dems would louder and harder, they would continue to beat the drums of race, women, immigration, all that stuff. And the Democrats have done exactly that. In fact, the Democrats have gotten very proficient at selecting many groups. They can be LGBT, they can be transgender, they can be black, they can be Latino, they can be Muslim, they can be, you name it, all the various groups. And separating those groups for messages, which tell those groups they are victims. What the Democrats have become adept at doing, and it's what I forecast they would kind of hone their skills on last year, is creating victims and then stitching those groups of victims together for their voting constituency. That's exactly what they've done, and they're doing it on steroids. I'll give myself an A on that one. I told you Obamacare would, for all intents and purposes, be over. And you know, with the one good thing that Congress got done in Obamacare is they threw out the individual mandate, which was that was the penalty for not taking out insurance. And that basically killed Obamacare. And just in the last month, a federal judge has ruled that Obamacare without the individual mandate is unconstitutional. That's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. It's going to be interesting how our buddy, who seems to be getting more liberal with every vote, John Roberts, votes on that. But Obamacare is over, folks. And yay. And you know what? Its demise, because I predicted that you would see the lowest increase in insurance rates that you had seen literally since Obamacare was passed in 2010. Almost, 9 years ago. And what really happened this year is that insurance rates for the first time since Obamacare was passed did not go up. They did not go up. Oh, yes, some individual somewhere on this claim or that claim might have seen a slight rise in rates, but across the board, for the first time in 9 years, insurance rates, the rate you pay for your health insurance, did not go up. I also told you you'd have more choices and that you would be able to buy just catastrophic insurance for the first time in 9 years rather than buying, you know, men buying maternity protection as Obamacare mandated. And all that has come to pass. I'll give myself an A- on that. So, Russian collusion. I told you last year that Russian collusion would fall flat on its face, that it would be proven to be a conjured hoax. And that is exactly what has happened over the past year. I also told you that as the Russian collusion nonsense collapsed, the Democrats and Mueller and, you know, the whole anti-Trump cabal would come up with other stuff to replace that. And sure enough, here they are. Oh, campaign violations and obstruction of justice and, you know, the Emoluments Act and all this nonsense. I'm going to give myself an A on that one. I predicted that Hillary Clinton would be ensnared in a number of new investigations. That is exactly what has happened. I have not had time over the last several weeks to bring this to your attention. I think there's been several articles posted under Hillary and under treason. But I want you to know that there's been more than a dozen arrests in the state of Arkansas, all of the inner circle of the Clintons, and that the investigation, which I brought to your attention 18 months ago, most folks don't know this, of the Clinton Foundation by three U.S. attorney field offices and FBI field offices, I believe in California, New York, and Arkansas, would be proceeding post-haste, and that the noose would be tightening around Hillary, and that is exactly what's going on. Those arrests in Arkansas are just over the last several months. They're getting closer and closer to Bill and Hillary, and they are right now at the threshold of the Clinton Foundation scandal. And I don't know if you saw the news over the last several weeks, but the CFO, the chief financial officer of the Clinton Foundation, has turned state's evidence. And in his words, quote, knows where all the bodies are buried, unquote. And by the way, in Hillary's case, when you say you know where all the bodies are buried, it's not just a figure of speech. So I'm going to give myself an A on that one. Immigration and refugees. You know, I really kind of thought, I hoped with all my heart, that Paul Ryan would not be what I kind of knew he was all along, and that is a globalist, anti-Trump rhino. I really thought we would have a significant portion of the border wall and border security funded, and a significant portion of the wall under construction. I was wrong. I underestimated just how disappointing Paul Ryan would be as a Speaker of the House prior to the Republicans losing control. I mean, it just makes my blood boil. I just can't tell you how upset it makes me. And the result is, of course, the current government shutdown, the arguments over $5 billion, you know, 20% of what we need to build the wall, and all the nonsense going on, the catch and release, and the asylums, and the caravans, and the whole nine yards. Thank you, Paul. Republican in name only. And a very disappointing American, let me tell you. Very disappointing. The best thing I can say about Paul Ryan right now is, thank God he didn't get elected to be vice president. You know, it's one thing if your opposite, your polar opposite in viewpoint gets elected. At least you know who they are. You know what they're going to try and do. What's even worse is when you think your ally gets elected and they're not your ally at all, and they spring traps on you that you're not prepared for. So that's all I can say about Paul Ryan. The best thing I can say about him is I'm glad he did not get elected vice president. I also predicted that the Brexit vote in England of 2 years ago, that the globalists and elitists, both in the EU and England, would try and undermine it, overpower it, kill it by delay. And I was exactly right. By the way, on the immigration thing, I'm going to give myself a D-. Very disappointing. That's one of the ones I really wanted to be right on. It's some of the others I didn't want to be right on. And I'm going to talk when I get into the forecast for this year what I think is going to happen with immigration this year. I think you'll find it interesting. Brexit, I hit it right on the button. Theresa May, elitist globalist that she was, like lieutenant to David Cameron, who campaigned vigorously against Brexit during the vote, has delayed and delayed and delayed, almost lost her government over it, totally pissed off the EU, and now one of her lieutenants has come out, as I forecast, and said, gee, maybe we ought to have another vote on Brexit. The globalists, the elitists, the EU are trying to kill Brexit, folks. Do I think they'll succeed? Ha! Well, you'll have to listen to the last half of the show for my forecast on that. Money to the United States. I forecast last year that there would be a huge, huge, as Donald Trump would say, influx of capital into the United States from the repatriation of funds, which $3 trillion in funds, which corporations have been holding offshore because of our lousy tax structure that Obama failed to revise, although he gave it lots of lip service, and because upheaval in the rest of the world, the immigration problems and other things in Europe, the upheavals in Africa, the pressures of China and Russia in Asia, and just the magnet of the United States economy under Trump would lure huge amounts of capital to the United States. That's exactly what has occurred. More money has flowed into the United States, and I said my exact forecast was huge influx than at any other time in U.S. history. So I'm going to give myself an A plus on that one. On oil, I forecast to you, by the way, going back 1 year, in 2017 that we would see $60 to $80 barrel oil. I was wrong on that, and I told you that in last New Year's show when I graded myself on my 2017 predictions. And I said, I'm going to double down on that forecast. And you know what? Oil got to $76 or $77 a barrel 4 or 5 months ago. It's now slipped down to about $45. Some analysts think it's going to go to $30. Some analysts think it's going to bounce back. You know what, folks? Until you don't have a car, and you don't need heat in your house, and you don't need a flame on your stove to cook your dinner, and industry doesn't need to produce things, and your office building doesn't need to be heated, fossil fuels are going nowhere except up. And particularly with what might happen with the American pullout from Syria and what's going on with Iran and the new sanctions that have been imposed on Iran and America trashing the Iran deal, thank God, which, by the way, was my forecast last year. I told you that Trump would find fault with it, they would declare the Iranians in breach, and that they would throw the Iran deal out the window. That's exactly what happened. A plus for me on that one. And I'm going to give myself a B minus on the oil forecast, because it got to where I said it was going to go, but it's also come back down. But I'm telling you that for next year, the slightest little geopolitical upheaval in the Mideast, even though America is now quote-unquote self-sufficient, and you're going to see oil right back up there to that 60, 80, maybe even higher benchmark. Energy, fossil fuels is a good play. I told you that we had just seen last year, despite all the startling revelations, the tip of the corruption iceberg in the swamp we call Washington, D.C., boy, was I, unfortunately, right. Think about all the things we have learned this year. The FISA Awards. Comey's involvement. The Strzok Page text messages. Mueller's rogue and illegal and unconstitutional investigation and sordid, nasty, dirty cop investigation and plea tactics. The link between Bruce Orr, Nelly Orr, Fusion GPS at the Department of Justice. Rod Rosenstein's disgusting display of globalist, elitist, I mean, I don't even know what to call a guy. There's been one, the stuff I just gave you here at the beginning of the show. Uma Abedin, Wiener, Wiener's laptop, Hillary's classified emails, Strzok's lack of investigation, Comey's exoneration of Hillary. This is all, and I'm just denting the surface of the additional corruption we have learned of in the course of this year. And you know what? We're unfortunately going to learn more. Last year I told you we had just begun peeling the onion. This year I'm going to tell you we're about half peeled. We still got half an onion to go. Hold on to your hat. There's going to be some revelations that are going to be unbelievable. And along those lines, I'm going to make a forecast. I forecast it last year. I'm going to give myself a D minus. I told you by this time this year, in 2018, we'd have another special prosecutor. But this time, to investigate all this treasonous activity by all these, by this cabal of deep state leftist conspirators. I'm still making that forecast. I still have faith in the fact that equal justice, the rule of law, and the Constitution will in the end prevail. The key is Trump getting rid of Sessions, which he's done, and getting his new AG confirmed ASAP, which he's in the process of. And he's begun that process by putting in the temporary AG Whitaker, who has taken control of the Mueller investigation away from Rosenstein. Greg Pruitt. I told you that Greg Pruitt at the EPA would ransack that agency and throw out about every regulation that wasn't nailed down. This is exactly what he did. Listen, unfortunately, he made some very bad choices. And I don't know, I don't know how well founded all this stuff is. You know, did he use United States money for personal travel? Did he use U.S. planes to go hither? I don't know. I really don't know. And if he did, shame on him. It's corruption, just like it was a Democrat. Doesn't matter. Corruption is corruption. Doesn't matter whether you got an R or a D in front of your name. Doesn't matter whether you're white, black, red, green, yellow, or from Mars. Corruption is corruption. But Greg Pruitt did, in fact, gut the regulations and the power of the EPA. And he's to be commended for that, regardless of what he may or may not have done in the other realms. I'll give myself an A- on that one. I told you that the sanctuary cities, in my opinion, would be defunded. You know, I was half right. Trump tried. And Obama judges shot him down. That battle's still going to be fought at the Supreme Court. So we'll have to see where it comes out. But my inclination is that something that either undoes, completely reverses, or greatly dampens sanctuary policy, both at the state and at the city and county levels, will happen in 2019. At least, you know, I hope that my hope isn't overshadowing my brains. We shall see. I'm going to have to give myself like a C- on that one. I told you that China would continue to behind the scenes support North Korea. Right on, folks. A+ on that one. Okay. China is not our friend. China is, in the end, our greatest enemy. I told you that Trump, this, remember, last year was long before the trade war started, that Trump was going to, I'll quote, bring down the hammer, unquote, on China, both for the theft of intellectual property and uneven trade. He's done exactly that. Give myself an A+ on that. I told you he was going to dismantle the Iran deal. A+ on that one. I told you, just as a little softer sidelight, that the National Football League under Goodell, who is a moron, would continue continue to trip over their own big progressive toe, make really bad policy and public relations decisions, and would see their traffic and revenues sink 10% to 20%. I was right on, except that their revenues have decreased 22%. And Goodell has not gotten one brain cell smarter since my show a year ago at this time. Football will continue to slip, folks, for a whole bunch of reasons, but that's one of the key ones. I told you that blockchain was a coming and potential worldwide form of currency. And in fact, there are more companies now than ever, and the growth has been astronomical. I mean, like 10,000% growth, and the number of companies that accept Bitcoin, and in some cases certain other digital currencies, for payment for goods and services. There's rumors that next year Starbucks will be the first major company to accept Bitcoin as currency for lattes. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just telling you what the back channels are saying. So in the upcoming year, you're going to see blockchain technology, that is digital currency, I'll call it Bitcoin, become more and more prevalent, particularly in online transactions and international transactions. It is, in a way, kind of scarily, the currency of the future. The Mideast. I told you that the Mideast would continue to be a mess. That ISIS would be pretty much eliminated because of Trump's new policies. And the, very importantly, the change in the rules of engagement. I told you that moving Jerusalem, moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem and moving the embassy to Jerusalem to recognize Jerusalem as the true capital of Israel would be a major, would number one cause a lot of upheaval, but in the end could be a catalyst toward a true Mideast peace, a two-state solution. The opposite of what many of the Democrats now call for, which is a solution that is, they call it the river to the sea, the Euphrates River to the Red Sea. In other words, there is no more Israel. Their solution is a Palestinian state that replaces Israel. Most of the sane world likes the two-state solution, a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. And I still believe that moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing Jerusalem as the true capital of Israel, will result in that. I don't know when it's going to be. The obstruction that's being thrown in Trump's path and what the Democrats have planned, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, could significantly delay a possible Mideast peace to the detriment of the planet. But you know, once again, Democrats, progressives don't care. They really don't care about the welfare of the planet or the welfare of anybody other than their own power and their perpetual maintenance of that power. A la Barack Obama putting into place policies which created more refugees than World War II and 500,000 deaths in Syria and tens of thousands of deaths from illegal immigrants and illegal immigration in the United States. North Korea. I told you North Korea would not give up its nuclear capabilities. I was completely right on that. I also told you that there would likely be a U.S. preemptive strike, that Trump would not allow North Korea to develop nuclear systems that could reach the United States. I still believe that he will not allow that. But there was a miracle of sorts, and that was the meetings and communications between Kim Baby over there, a little rocket man in North Korea, and Trump. Now, whether the outcome is going to be the same as I forecast last year, and that is, in the end, America will have to do a preemptive strike, I don't know. And it's gotten much more complicated with the Chinese trade war, China's continuing support of North Korea, Russia with its little fingers in there meddling, as Putin's going to do wherever he can, whenever he can. So I'm going to give myself an A on North Korea being unwilling to give up its nukes and a D minus, maybe even an X, a fail, on America having to launch a preemptive strike. Although I had the qualifier in there, which was, unless a miracle happened. And Kim and Donald sitting across the same table at the demilitarized zone is kind of a miracle. I talked about the Kurds last year and their fervent wish to establish their own country. 150 million Kurds, the largest single group in the world without their own country. And parts of that country would be carved out of Turkey and parts out of Syria and parts out of Iraq. The Kurds have been fierce allies of the United States in wiping out, or shall we say, mostly wiping out ISIS. And they are tremendous fighters. Their army is called the Peshmerga. The Kurds are considered terrorists and enemies by Turkey, which is now run by Barack Obama's buddy Erdogan, a Sharia guy, a Muslim dictator who changed the Turkish constitution. Remember, Turkey is a NATO member, folks, and nuclear armed, who changed the Kurdish constitution to basically make himself president for life and give himself unlimited power. And somehow the Turkish people supposedly voted for that. Amazing. Well, with the United States announcing its withdrawal from Syria, the Turks are now massing an army to attack the Kurds. That I do not believe is good for the United States. It is certainly not good for the Kurds. It is not good at all for Mideast stability and could create a vacuum because the Peshmerga will be engaged and the United States will be mostly out of Syria. It could create a vacuum for the regenesis of ISIS. I don't know. I'm willing to take... Trump knows things we do not. I'm not sure that 2,200 American troops in Syria makes all that much difference in the war on ISIS, assuming the Syrian forces, the Russian forces, the Turkish forces, and the Kurdish forces keep the pressure on what's left of ISIS. But if they all start fighting amongst themselves, you know, we're going to have a situation similar to Iraq. I can't make a forecast on that. The Mideast is too volatile. All I'm doing is bringing to your attention a bunch of conflicting dots, and how they're all going to fit together in a line is anybody's guess. And how they're going to affect oil prices, though, the less stability in the Mideast, folks, the higher oil prices will be. Europe. I told you that the unrest in Europe would continue to grow, that the separatist movements in Italy and Spain and Ireland and Belgium would continue to grow, that populist nationalism would continue to grow. I'm going to give myself an A-plus on that. It's exactly what has occurred. Catalonia, the big province in Spain, has now twice voted to secede from Spain. The factions that want to split Belgium in two are even stronger. Andrea Merkel, globalist, oh, such a bad leader, globalist that she is, who allowed 1.2 million Muslims into Germany and completely altered the social fabric of that country, basically lost all power in her government. To the extent, by the way, that she said she will not run again. So Andrea Merkel is out in Germany. And the nationalist forces, the populist forces, the anti-immigration forces, the Germany First forces in Germany are growing by, their power and their numbers are growing by leaps and bounds, as they are in France, where they're called the Yellow Jackets. You probably heard, although, you know, the press didn't want to cover this too much, about the huge riots in Paris and all around France. I mean, they brought the country to a standstill. This was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the street, many times joined by the police, protesting a 25-cent gas hike to combat global warming because of their premier, Macron, who's going to save the planet with his 25-cent gas hike on gas, which is already $7.06 a gallon. The Yellow Jackets have pretty much brought the French government to its knees in all its plans on that kind of crap. And that is also a populist nationalist movement. I'm going to continue to forecast for you that the European Union is in the slow motion process of a breakup, which is one of the reasons the globalists in Britain are so anxious to try and reverse that Brexit vote. Because if Britain successfully exits with sovereignty and with strength and with an ability to stand on its own two feet and not be shackled by some, you know, far-off communal government in Brussels, the European Union, that's going to serve as a model for all these other populist movements in all these other European countries. And the globalists know this. That's why they're funneling such time, energy, and subterfuge into trying to undermine the Brexit deal, the Brexit vote. So those were my Oh, I also told you China would become more and more militaristic, which it has. Launched its first aircraft carrier. It is continuing to build up its islands in the South China Sea. It is now directly confronting, and of course mainstream media isn't telling you this at all, American warships that are trying to transit the South China Sea. There's been two occasions in the last month when the same Chinese frigate and the same United States destroyer, I believe it's the Bainbridge, have come within 45 feet of colliding with one another in the South China Sea on purpose. It's something to watch. Very carefully, I might add. Very carefully. All right. Let's talk about what I forecast for this coming year. I've given you some forecasts already, but let me give you some more. On immigration, I told you last year that chain migration was the main source of quote-unquote illegal immigration into this country. One illegal immigrant comes in one way, shape, or form, and they bring in 22 relatives, friends, cousins, grandfathers, you name it. A new study came out. Boy, you'll hate these numbers. 10 million people entered the United States under Barack Obama. You know, the whole thing about him being the deporter-in-chief was so much crap. Mainstream media propaganda. Democratic propaganda. Oh, yeah, he might have deported a bunch of people, but he deported them across a border that he knew was open. They could get right back in. And then he put in illegally by executive fiat, by executive order, because he couldn't get it through Congress, all sorts of policies and nonsense which we're dealing with today, like asylum and the visa lottery. You name it. Of the 10 million... You're going to love this. Of the 10 million folks that came in under Obama and that didn't get deported by the quote-unquote deporter-in-chief, 70%, 7 million of them came here via chain migration. Now, in terms of what's going to happen this year on immigration, I think that if we have more events like this incredibly sad killing of this young cop in California that I talked about. And I think if we have a continued overt display of disdain by the Democrats, the progressives, of America and Americans and sovereignty and the sanctity of one person, one vote, that is one American citizen, one vote, you're going to see some pressure on them to do something about immigration. So I guess my forecast is Trump is going to get somewhere between 3 and 6 billion in this current showdown for border security and border wall. I think Trump is also going to create some type of situation where he gets another 5 to 10 billion from the military or some other source. And I hope a large portion of the border wall is under construction through the course of this year. As to chain migration, unless it's by executive order and a bunch of court wins, I don't think you're going to see that stop this year. The visa lottery, perhaps you'll see some changes there. Anchor babies, you know, where you get the, where you walk across the border, give birth 2 days later, and voila, your kid's an American citizen. And, of course, through chain migration, you follow him. And you're eligible for all this welfare, all this kind of stuff, all the goodies which are intended for Americans. I think you may see some changes in that. Trump has already moved, and I think you're going to see some big movement this year because he can do a lot of it through executive order. In the guidelines for who gets welfare and who gets food stamps and the fact that you're going to have to earn your way into those entitlement programs. I think you're going to see some other executive orders which are going to, and I talked about one of them last week, but if you come here illegally and then you go on welfare, you are no longer eligible ever to be a United States citizen. You forsake that right forever. I think you're going to see some of those types of things develop. How well they're going to be enforced, I don't know. Sanctuary cities, I talked about this a little bit before. I think you're going to see them slightly watered down, but I think they're going to continue, unfortunately, to exist and to be magnets for both illegal aliens and particularly bad guy illegal aliens. I think you're going to see the women's movement, and I've talked about this the last few weeks. You're going to see it splinter. You're going to see it lose its power and its focus because its leaders are pro-Islamist, anti-Semitic, anti-conservative women. They are not pro-women. They are pro-ideology. And any woman who does not fit within their strict interpretation of the correct way to think is not welcome in their movement. And I think you're going to see that power greatly diffused over the course of this year. I think it's in process right now. Obamacare. I believe that with the mandate struck down, which was the only thing John Roberts could sink his teeth into when he surprisingly upheld Obamacare 3-4 years ago, I think you're going to see the Supreme Court uphold the ruling by the federal judge that Obamacare without the mandate is unconstitutional, and I think Obamacare is going to be gone. And I think you're going to see a wave of new insurance products. I think you're going to see, for the first time in 10 years, maybe 20 years, you're actually going to see premiums go down for health insurance. And selections go way up. And that is, by the way, maintaining pre-existing conditions and some of the other goodies that people like so much. Mueller. I'm going to make a bold prediction on this. I believe that by the end of the year, Robert Mueller himself will be under investigation. It might be for obstruction of justice. This recently disclosed fact that he and his team wiped the cell phones of Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. In other words, they destroyed evidence. And as prosecutors destroyed exculpatory evidence for their victims, which they are by law bound to provide both to the defense and to the court, that's a big no-no. You may see him involved, depending upon whether or not a second special counsel is appointed by the new AG, in some reach-back investigations into Uranium One. I think it's going to be a very interesting year when it comes to Robert Mueller. And, of course, he'll be releasing his report, which will have no substance but lots of innuendo relative to Donald Trump, which kind of leads us to impeachment. The Democrats, despite all their nonsense, all their lies during the campaign, we're not interested in impeachment, we're interested in legislation, and blah, 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 and we don't care about Trump, we care about the American people, and all the nonsense. The Democrats will not be able to help themselves. The progressives are never able to help themselves. They always overplay their hand, a la Kavanaugh, a la the border, etc. And I think that you will see Donald Trump likely lose a vote of impeachment in the House of Representatives. I also think that if that happens, that it would almost ensure, so long as the economy is good, it will virtually assure his reelection in 2020, kind of a Bill Clinton-type situation. And I don't think Donald Trump will be impeached for one flat second in the United States Senate, which means the House vote is, you know, a non-event and a waste of time and taxpayer money, which most of the rest of the country will figure out too. People want results, folks. They want solutions. They are tired of this mess. And I think more and more people are beginning to understand where the mess came from and who conjured, not created, but conjured out of thin air the mess that we're in. North Korea. Wow. Wild card. I'm going to go back to my original forecast, if you will. And that is, I still think, and I hope I'm wrong, I still think the odds are more, lean more heavily toward a preemptive strike against North Korea, a limited strike, than they do toward any meaningful agreement with North Korea whereby they give up their nukes. We shall see. Iran. I think Iran, in a state of desperation, is going to bully forward on their terror around the world, their hungry thirst for control of the entire Mideast region, using Obama cash to finance that expansion. And I think that they are going to do more and more missile testing, and I think that they are going to try and create the bomb. They're watching what's happening with North Korea. They see North Korea at the worst having created a stalemate for itself, even with the United States, the world's largest power. Iran has Chinese backing like North Korea does. It has Russian backing. I mean, you can kind of see how all the various players around the world have lined up. Anything Russia and China can do to make life miserable for the United States and U.S. allies, they will do. And they will use any country, whether it's North Korea or Iran, as a pawn to achieve their greater nationalist gains. And that's going to continue. And I think Iran is going to become emboldened unwisely. I think they're going to start to make the bomb, which they're very close to. Remember that Barry's agreement with them didn't make them dismantle anything. Supposedly, their uranium reserves are being held by Russia. Oh, gee, that makes me feel good. And I think there's a 50-50 chance that this year and a 60-40, 70-30 chance in 2020 that Israel, with U.S. help, perhaps covertly, will launch a will launch a preemptive strike against Iran. Because Israel will not, just like Donald Trump will not allow North Korea to develop any meaningful nuclear capabilities that can threaten the United States, so too will Israel absolutely will not let Iran develop nuclear capabilities that can threaten Israel. And Israel could well use tactical nuclear weapons, which might be the only thing that penetrates Iranian nuclear defenses, which they've had, 10 years to build, because they were coddled by Barack Obama and his Iranian-born closest advisor, Valerie Jarrett. So I'm going to put that at 50-50, but much higher odds as we go further into Trump's first term. Because the one thing the Israelis will absolutely want, and that's Donald Trump in the presidency if they're going to launch that strike. They cannot take a chance on no backing by the United States. They know Donald Trump will back their play. Gun control. Unfortunately, folks, and I'm going to have a really big show on this next week. Do not miss it. You're going to be scared to death when I tell you all the stuff which has been passed, which is talking about being passed, which is being drafted at the state, federal, and local levels around the country. Gun control is a serious concern for 2018. And I don't mean just, bump stocks, which basically were just outlawed. I'm talking about restrictions on magazines, restrictions on types of weapons, potential universal background check. Remember, universal background check means if you have a gun, you have to get a background check, not just if you buy a gun, and you go on a national registry. In other words, a national registration system for guns, which is the first step in confiscating weapons. I think you're going to see confiscation of weapons in certain jurisdictions. We're entering a very scary time for the Second Amendment. Very scary time for the Second Amendment. Okay. Israel. Kind of ties in with what I talked about Iran. I think Israel... I think Israel is going to try and fill the void that the United States is leaving as we pull out of Syria. Literally, 2 days after Trump announced that we were exiting Syria over the next several months, Israel began bombing Iranian positions in Syria. Do not underestimate the enmity, complete enmity, and complete disregard one for the other between Israel and Iran. It's going to be a driving force in geopolitical situations in the Middle East, probably for the next decade, certainly over this next year. Remember, Israel feels it has a window with Donald Trump in the presidency. They don't know what the next president will be like. They know what Obama was like. They couldn't have been doing any of this stuff. Let's talk about the economy. I did several shows over the last 3 months about why the value, in fact, the name of the shows are Six Reasons the Value of Your Home is Going to Decline. You know, put it in the search bar and listen to it. Unfortunately, that whole projected housing thing is occurring. I know that the upper end and resort markets now out west has started to slow. By resort markets, I mean either golf markets or ski markets. Ranch is holding fairly steady, and I think will continue to hold relatively steady rest of the, you know, ranch and rural type acreage. Ranch and farm, farm and ranch, will continue to hold relatively well relative to what's going to happen with the rest of real estate, particularly in the suburban and urban markets around the United States. The Fed may or may not raise rates again next year. I think that they were, despite the bravado and the bluster, I think the market drop over the last week or so when they raised rates several thousand points down, you know, $1 trillion in net worth, gone. I think it rattled them. But I think that they are going to continue their quantitative tightening. I've talked about this on many shows, put in the words quantitative easing, Federal Reserve, national debt, unfunded liabilities. You can listen to those shows. Basically, they expanded their balance sheet by buying our own bonds and our own treasury bills over the last 8 or 9 years to the tune of $4 trillion worth of purchases. And now, at the rate of $50 or $60 billion a month, they're not upping their purchases. So at the same time that the federal government, because of ever-increasing deficits, needs to borrow $100 or $150 billion a month, the Fed is taking $50 billion out of purchases. In other words, it used to be a purchaser of $50 billion a month. Now it's a seller of $50 billion a month. That's going to put strain on the credit markets. People are now starting to talk about a recession. Short-lived, blah, 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 blah. You know, every pundit has their own deals. And there's some that say there's no recession, this is going to go on forever. And then there's others that say it's going to be, you know, worse than the Great Depression. And then there's others who say it's going to be a short but sharp recession beginning in the summer of 2019. Why don't I just say that my prognosis is when you take all the factors out there, the beginnings of a decline in real estate, in the Northeast, a severe decline. Listen to my shows over the last 2 months. Type in Darien, Connecticut. Type in Northeast real estate market. And you couple that with the seeming inability of government to get anything done and people's loss of faith in governmental institutions and people's general nervousness about the division in the country, which the Democrats have fostered, and a host of other factors, I think that you are going to see an economy which cools down over the course of 2019. I think it's going to remain relatively good. There's going to be pockets which are not so good. But it's time to trim the sails, folks. Get rid of all the debt that you can, because the cost of that debt, one way, shape, or form, whether or not the Fed raises rates, is going to go up. Particularly get rid of second mortgages on your houses. Get rid of high interest rate credit card debt. You know, batten down the hatches. I'm not saying crawl into the bunker, but definitely batten down the hatches. We're in for an economy which is going to have several weak sectors, several weak geographic areas, which could deteriorate into something worse, or which could cruise along kind of at half throttle for a while. It is my one concern when it comes to the re-election of Donald Trump. And everything that may happen in the economy, that I think will happen and that could happen, over and above what I think will, is not a product of his policies. That's the shame of it. It's a product of the policies of the three predecessors before him, going back to Clinton, and particularly the policies of Obama, and particularly the $10 trillion Obama added quite purposefully and intentionally to the national debt. Corporate debt, and I've had shows on this, is at an all-time high, much higher than 2008 when we had the last kind of bust. Student debt, all-time high. Consumer debt, all-time high. Credit card debt, all-time high. So there's a lot of factors out there that tell me that things have to cool off a bit. And you need to be prepared for that. We're going to talk more about the economy as the year goes on. I'm going to bring, you know, and I've been doing this. I've been trying to do this the last six to nine months, going back to my show, Canaries in the Economic Mine, what to look for. Several of those danger points that I pointed out, 9 months ago, whenever that show was, one of my most popular shows ever. Several of those early warning indicators have already happened, inverse yield curves and all sorts of stuff I'm not going to get into. That's not what this show is about. But the economy in 2019 is going to be softening in many respects. And hopefully it's a softening and it doesn't get soft. The United Nations, you know, the United Nations has become increasingly intrusive, increasingly globalist. It has this migration pact where every country in the world is supposed to open up its borders and take all the refugees, which a bunch of countries now have told to stick up their butts, including the United States and others. It has this small arms treaty, which basically says, you know, the United Nations has the right to come in and take the arms of the citizens of any country in the world. I mean, I'm making a synopsis, but that's what it says. It has its Agenda 2030, which basically tells people how to live, work, drive, takes everybody out of rural areas, puts them in tight, congested urban areas, gives them little apartments, they ride bicycles. I'm not making this up. It was called Agenda 21. You can go to the UN website and dial it up. UN.org. Type in Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030. Read the document yourself. Let their words speak for it. I think you're going to see more and more victimization games by the progressives and the left around the world as they create classes of victims, weave them into voting constituencies, and then launch them at their opponents. That you can count on. The left is going to become more and more shrill, folks, not less shrill. I think you could see, and I hope we do, I think that you could see the U.S. greatly curtail the amount of money it gives the United Nations, maybe even to the point of defunding the United Nations, which, by the way, I think would be great. The United Nations is pretty much worthless. You're going to see more and more peeling of the onion of voter fraud. It is far more rampant, along with electioneering, illegal election tampering and manipulation, like we saw in Broward and Palm Beach counties, and we saw in Arizona, and we saw in the 26 congressional seats, which were stolen by the Democrats. Keep your eyes on that. I hope you're going to see countermeasures. Strict countermeasures. And I've talked about this in my voter fraud shows. start to be put in place, I hope, by the government and by state governments, at least in red states. And we better do it, or the 2020 elections will be stolen. I'm telling you that 2018, I said this before, that was a dry run for the Democrats to see if their new voter fraud techniques would work. And they worked like a charm, unfortunately. I think that you have a better than 50-50 chance that Trump is going to get a third Supreme Court pick, which is going to make the left melt down. We shall see. And that is my that's my forecast. I mean, we covered a lot of stuff here. Oh, one last thing. One last thing. Terror. We are long overdue for a major terror attack. Yes, there's been, you know, last year I projected that terror would continue and in some areas increase. That's pretty much what happened. You've seen attacks, a number of attacks in Europe. You've seen some, no attack is minor, but in terms of the number of people involved, minor attacks in the United States. You've seen a ramp up of terror in the Mideast as ISIS tries to, and the Taliban, in the case of the Taliban, tries to show that they're coming back, and they are. And in the case of ISIS, to show that they're still alive, and they are. The threat is always out there for a major terror attack. There's a lot of speculation that some of the California fires were set as terrorist acts by radical Islamists. I would not doubt it for a minute. And in that case, they are major terror attacks. I mean, if when you have the fire that just that they just got under control like several weeks ago out in Northern California that killed over 100 people, that's a major terror attack. And that was started. They never said, you know, did you notice the mainstream media, and I've looked for it, they never said whether the folks that started it, they said they were illegal aliens. They never said what their names were, or whether they were from Mexico, or whether they were from Guatemala, or whether they were from Syria, or Iraq, or Iran. I find that really interesting. It's kind of like the continuing mystery in the Las Vegas shooting. So unfortunately, I think terror is something that we will live with, and in fact, our children will live with, because the struggle that's going on, you know, you kind of have a struggle within a struggle. You have the ideological struggle within the Western world between left and right. You have the alliance, the unholy alliance, as I call it, between the left and radical Islam. And then you have the civilizational struggle, which is even bigger, between literally Eastern and Islamic beliefs and Western and Judeo-Christian beliefs. And that struggle, folks, is here to stay for our lifetimes and probably the lifetimes of our children. And the outcome is still in doubt. This next year will be pivotal to the future of America. Every year for the last several years have been pivotal. So far, they've pivoted our way. But we must get immigration under control. We must get our national debt under control. We must get ourselves, and by ourselves, I'm including left and right and middle, under control. We have to come together again as Americans. We have to resist this divisive segregation of all of us into tribes of white and black and Latino and Oriental and Christian and Jewish and Muslim and whatever. Of gay and straight and male and female. That is so purposeful. It is so shallow. It is so evil and devious. We are Americans. And in my view, that's the three things that America has to get its act together over the coming year, being Americans again, regardless of what our opinions and beliefs and ideals may be. Sealing the border and otherwise getting immigration under control, or we will be fundamentally transformed just as Obama intended when he opened the border and did all the other things he did and forewarned us, and we still elected him twice. And I guess the fourth thing that we have to do is we have to hold our elected representatives, we have to hold their feet to the fire. No more Paul Ryans. No more John McCain's. No more Jeff Flakes. You ride for the brand, and the brand is America. I want to thank all of you folks, you many, 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 and growing audience. I guess we're up to 2.7 million or something listeners all around the country, all around the world for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope you get something out of each and every show. If nothing else, at least a laugh. And I want to thank all you folks who read my books. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your patience. I'm working hard to get the next three books out here very shortly. Stay tuned to the Threads West series website for updates on that. That is the only accurate information, folks. Not Barnes & Noble, not Amazon, not anybody. ThreadsWestSeries.com and Facebook.com/ThreadsWest. That's it. That is the gospel on the release of those books. I want to wish all of you, I hope you all had a terrific Christmas, the best ever. And I wish to all of us and to America the greatest, happiest, healthiest, wealthiest, most successful, and most free New Year's ever. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great 2019, and I'll talk at you the first weekend of next year, which is just a week away.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.